Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of the Citrus College Clarion Podcast, where we cover the top headlines in the Clarion newspaper located at Citrus College. All stories discussed can be found on ccclarion.com. I'm your host, Alex Lomelli, and I'm a freelancer for the Clarion. I am joined today by my co-host, Ryan Thompson.
Hey everybody, this is Ryan, and I'm web editor for the Clarion.
Today we are featuring Citrus College student and recent student government president-elect, Fernando Flores.
Hey everyone.
Flores won the ASCC presidential election with a total of 87 votes against his opponent, Ian Rodriguez. ASCC is the Associated Students of Citrus College. It is made up of all students attending Citrus College who have paid their ASCC student service fee. They are the representative voice of the entire student body. Their duties include attending executive committees, making sure needs of the students are addressed, and organizing social events, in addition to helping managing funding to the departments on campus. All right, so let's just get into it. Thank you again for coming on the podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
Our first question for you is, how long have you been attending Citrus College and what is your major?
I've been attending now for 2 years. My major is art, specifically graphic design. After here, hoping to transfer out to UCLA and work on media arts again. But I want to work for one of the big major studios as an animator. And then once I've gotten enough experience of that, open up my own shop.
So what are the reasons why you went into that major exactly?
I grew up on comic books, anime, so it was just always an interest. And it actually became my therapy at times because in high school I was super introverted and I would always just dig my face into my sketchbook. And once I came to Citrus, I actually just started experimenting and trying other stuff, but every time I took an art class, I felt like I was back at home.
Mm-hmm. And we wanted to ask you about your studies and your interests and how that ties into also your identity, because we know that you have also a kind of a diverse, necessarily ethnic identity as well.
My identity is Native American. And depending on how you ask, some people might say that, oh, you're half Native American, half Mexican. But in reality, Mexicans are Native. You know, they've traveled up and down California long before we had all these borders coming up. So yes, Native American. And to get into the detail of that, my mom grew up in a reservation in Washington. My dad came from Guadalajara, Jalisco, and they met up here in Los Angeles.
But yeah, so you really are like 100% Native American if you consider both definitions in that way.
Yeah.
Right. I've never seen it that way. That's true. And you said that absolutely that does tie into your decisions that you make on campus or the type of activities that you partake in. And how so?
So the first club I joined here was the Latinos Unido Student Association. And the reason why I chose that one is because I've worked with some other groups from different campuses, like the Mechas of Mount SAC. And I saw the things that they were doing to try to have an affirmation of their identity. And I thought, you know what? I feel like Citrus can use that too, because I know there's a club that exists. I just don't see them around campus. So I want to take some of the things that I've learned from this other campus and then see if I can get these other students here on Citrus to be on board with it as well. That was when I first came to this campus, that was my first goal.
All right, well, I guess that brings us to our next question. What first prompted you to run for office for ASCC president?
Last year when it was actually 2 years now, I think this happened in 2016, I read the paper that the art portfolio workshop wasn't being funded by the student government at the time. And I read through it how everything from students to professors came out to advocate for it and took 3 meetings for that to happen. And I thought, you know what? Maybe art needs representation in government, so I'm going to run for this.
That's noble, yeah. That's definitely a good reason to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not just for yourself. That's for a group of people. Well,
art has a huge community here on our campus. I mean, we have a whole building dedicated to visual and performing arts, so... Mm-hmm. I thought it was ironic that they couldn't even get funding at the time, which was only around $200, which is like just, you know, pennies compared to what the budget is.
Yeah, and the budget for this building that they built for not obviously only fine arts, but for arts also. Yeah. So I definitely see what you're saying.
And I did want to ask, so what kind of things that now that you kind of have this position, what kind of things that you would want to see in terms of that art, in terms of your initial intentions?
So... 2 things, and this is how they intermingle. I wanted to have more educational and cultural events, social activities here on campus. And some of the ways that we do this is by having art out in the Campus Center Mall. Mm-hmm. One of the ideas that I have is I want to tie Inktober into an event that we can do here on campus where students can express themselves through their passion of whether it's poetry or through their visual art skills.
Oh, so Inktober kind of encompasses all of that, like not just writing, but just any use of kind of ink to express yourself in that way.
Because when you get too niche specific, you exclude a whole group, but I'm trying to bring as much inclusiveness that I can into these activities that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely plenty a lot of student artists that are like very willing to, but maybe if the opportunity is there, they might be more eager to do such a thing. Because I mean, we've met artists, musicians that are all doing their own thing, and they're kind of in their own little niche. But I feel like if a position like that, you could take advantage of that and kind of give students like that a platform. Say, oh, you know, my school doesn't have to be a separate world from the passion I put into my art necessarily. So, you know, those worlds can merge. I don't see why they can't.
Yeah.
We did also want to get into our next question was that what kind of challenge did you face when you were running for your campaign? Because we know that you had previous experience as an AC senator and also you were vice president for LUSA as well. So what kind of challenges came about?
Well, the challenges when you're in student government is that you have to follow procedure and protocol, which means that let's say if I wanted to, I had this idea. When I was in my LUSA club, everybody was pretty, we were all thought pretty much the same way. So as far as trying to debate whether to have it, it happens.
Yeah.
But in government, you've got different points of views coming from everywhere. And getting things, one, can we all at least agree to it? And if not, okay, how much are we willing to compromise? That's where it gets a little tough. And then even after that, as far as getting out
the word out?
The word out. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. The word out. You know, you still have to run it through your advisor, make sure the advisor approves it. So it has to be so well planned ahead of time to make sure that you get it out on time. Mm-hmm. Like when we have something that we want to submit, it needs to be submitted Thursday by 11 a.m. in order to make it onto the agenda for Monday next week.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my best ideas are like, I'm on the weekend, I have some free time, and I think, you know, we should have this. Oh, that's not going to happen until next week anyway.
Right. And that's done through a board, right? That's you guys function on a board system. So I guess we could, I don't mind if we just interject in a sec that how many positions are on ACC and how does that kind of, like a quick rundown, it's like.
So the immediate ones would be president, vice president, treasurer, legislative liaison, and then we have up to 7 senators.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones where you get elected. Now, what's coming next is that you have appointed positions. Appointed is where the president will pick these people, and it's commissioners. We have commissioners of athletics, commissioners at large, which is kind of like the all-around person. If we needed someone to be delegated for this, commissioner at large can take that.
Do you guys have meetings every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday for just the executive meetings. And then Thursday is the campus activity boards, mm-hmm. where we're still required to go to those, but it's open to the rest of the student body. So if they wanted to put their input on something, they're more than welcome to. The only thing is, ultimately, who gets the final voting for the funding of it still comes back to the executive board.
And that kind of leads into your next question. You want to go ahead?
Yeah. How do you think your duties will differ now as opposed to when you were an ASCC senator?
Well, the duties are definitely going to increase. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 2 of them that the president has to attend. It's the foundations and I believe the steering committee, something that I feel I can handle because for my first term senator, the president gave me 4 committees to attend and I still signed up for 1 more after that.
You were already an extra adding on as well. So beforehand, so you were almost prepared for it in a way.
I don't know if he was just like, I have faith in this kid, or let's just see what he's got. I'm gonna give him everything.
Yeah. We were talking about earlier about your plans with art and bringing it to campus. And that kind of leads into our question where, what do you plan to accomplish now as AACC president? So maybe your goals, things you plan on changing overall.
So the first one that I had in mind was I wanted to show that we are a very diverse and inclusive campus, which is by having these social activities. Because when students see these things going on, you know, it's out in the public eye and it gives that impression that we are a welcoming school. And in the past, and this is just from my observation of just having only been here for nearly 2 years, is that just activities in general are a little dry.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've been in the board, I see that we've had activities. The biggest challenge has been, how do we bring students to these activities? And one of the challenges that I realized was that we always have everything indoors, and people always, they'd rather just go about their way. If they have to walk across campus, which it's not a very big campus, mm-hmm. everyone feels, it's a burden to come out to this workshop and listen to this panel. So when it was time for me to host my own event, which was the Earth Day, I thought, let me just make it as easy access to these students as possible. Yeah. And I had it in the Campus Center Mall. Really successful, because I was able to catch so much of the traffic coming in as they were leaving or going through different classes.
Yeah, I think that's a great approach. I mean, that gets the people that didn't even really intend or even know about the event to maybe participate in it. I mean, people that weren't looking for the event now see the event and they're like, oh, whoa, okay, like maybe I'll check it out. Because I know for me, like, convenience is huge. If something's more convenient for me, it's more likely I'm going to do it. If it's inconvenient, I'd be really motivated at that point. So yeah, I think that's great.
And definitely, it's hard to get an outreach, especially in a community college where, you know, you got people with jobs and you got people just very passively. They don't really even, maybe even consider joining things on campus.
Yeah, it's like a commuter campus, just on campus, off campus.
Okay, and that's it. And I think putting things in front of their face, you know.
I think that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be really interesting to see. So we're talking about placing events right in front of students, you know, when they're walking, to kind of improve the attendance. Mm-hmm. And I did also want to ask, how will you attack student outreach? Because some students don't even check their email. So how would you approach that?
Well, one of the things I got to experiment with when I was in LUSA was that I had came to my professors or our advisors' classrooms, and I would talk about the events that we were having, like when we had our alternative art gallery. So, and the way how, the reason why that one worked out so well is because students have to sit there and at least listen to it, because mm-hmm. they're in class. And being respectful of the time, I try to get it to like 5 minutes or less. And I'll leave contact information so that you can get hold of the event. So what I want to do is keep my schedule a little light on my courses now that a majority of them are done, and go to classrooms and talk about what are the events that are coming up, so that students at least have to at least sit there and listen to it.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore something when it's in your face.
Yeah. The other thing I want to experiment with also is making public service announcement videos. So what I want to try is if we can use our social media, where let's say we made this video for this event coming up, mm-hmm. and then I forward it over to the dean and I tell the dean, you know, if you could please give this to your professors to show in class. Yeah. So that way the professor doesn't have to try to memorize all these things. You just open up the document, pull down the projector, click play, and let that speak to the students.
Yeah.
And then the final way is trying to have as many of these social events happen in the Campus Center Mall, if possible.
Yeah, I really like the video idea, to be honest. I mean, I've always been a fan of video production and everything, so I'm a little bit biased. But I felt like, especially, say, the video for the Lucid Art Gallery that I know you had a part in, that was great. I feel like when I hear about an event here, I really don't know what it entails. And seeing a video about it is much more easier to digest than just having an email or anything like that.
Right, because you're not in a rush to go to class.
Yeah.
You're in class, and you can just take it in at the pace that I put out, which is hopefully not too fast, not too slow.
Yeah, enough to tackle. And I had joined the Clarion because I heard about it because Patrick Schmidt, who is the communications professor who handles the Clarion and is the advisor for the staff, he came into one of my classrooms randomly, and that's when it just planted a seed in my head for later. And it might not even prompt a student immediately, but now they know it's an option. Now they know it exists. And I think that sounds like the first step. It's just like, getting the word out.
I feel like it's easier to hit people with emotion when you're actually talking to them or like they're watching a video. When they're reading stuff, not everyone picks up on the emotion when they're reading something.
Yeah, and I think that's a really, really cool approach because it's more than just a poster plastered on a stall, bathroom stall that you see.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. We talked about all the changes that you want to bring and all the duties that you're placing on yourself and are part of ASCC. But our next question is, what role do students play in enacting change on campus they want to see? What is their role in all of this?
The first thing I would say is start listening and paying attention to the events that happen. And if you do have something that you feel that it needs to be addressed, or the pet peeve as I like to call it, find out your student government and talk to them about it, because we directly have contact with other committees. That's deans and faculty who sit on different departments for different things. They will bring those, or they better bring that voice to be heard. And that's how policy happens around here, is that unless people speak about it, sometimes no one even knows if there is going to be if there is an issue.
So who should they address their concerns to?
Start with your senators, your president, your vice presidents, and what they'll do is they'll bring this up in an agenda somewhere, and they start dialogue with it too. The other thing too, I would highly recommend Tuesdays at 2:40, before government starts to take its own agenda, it's open to the public at that point to voice any concerns that they have. If you want to, if you want them all to hear it at the same time, you go to that meeting. It starts right. That's the first thing that gets talked about before they move on to the agenda. Everyone in that board meeting will hear whatever that concern is.
So Tuesdays at 2:40, and what room is that?
This is in the Student Service Center. That's SS238.
So again, thank you, Fernando, so much for coming on the podcast again. We really appreciate it.
Well, I would say thank you guys for entrusting me, and I would encourage you guys to come to both the Tuesday and especially the Thursday meetings, because those are student campus activity boards where we want to hear insight from outside students what they would like to see on campus, because I have my list of things, but I can't think of everything for everyone. So come put a request of what something you would like to see, and we'll see if we can add it into our scheduled events that come up this next year.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it, Fernando.
That concludes this episode of the Citrus College Clarion Podcast. Again, you can find all articles we discussed on ccclarion.com. Do you know about something that Clarion should be covering? Email us at contact.ccclarion.com. We'll see you next episode.